It's HSK Today.
SA made by Patera with the right pad.
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Morelli left wing. Richard scores!
And the AHL.
2 seconds and one. The Silver Knights hang on.
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
And here we go, coming to you from the Dollar Loan Center. This is HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here, you there, Joe Costa on the other side of the glass. And I promise, to my knowledge, no one was traded in any direction during the time I just wasted introducing ourselves to you, because you know who we are. But for a very busy trade deadline day, they are rolling through, and we're going to have some fun this afternoon. Of course, getting you set for a very important Silver Knights contest tonight. The Silver Knights taking on the Bakersfield Condors. Not only important for the ramifications of the playoff race in the here and now. Bakersfield is in the seventh and final playoff spot. Silver Knights trying to catch them. But also the fact that the Silver Knights play them four times over the course of the last 18 games, including a home-and-home to finish this season. So let's not make the next month and a half into a five-minute conversation tonight. But it does show that not only is tonight a big game for the HSK, Justin, but it's the first step in what is going to have to be a prolonged effort.
And I think it can go a long way in just the mentality of the team moving forward, where if you get a couple of points tonight against Bakersfield, it really sets you up for some more success down the road. And the Silver Knights, of course, just got off a couple of games against Tucson. They're going to see them next week early. But as you mentioned, a lot more matchups with the Bakersfield Condors, and kind of setting that tone early, especially given how the season series has gone to this point, and getting a win and 2 points against the Condors would be huge tonight.
Season series, if you're not aware, the Condors have won all four meetings this season between the two teams, but they've not met since December 27th. Both teams quite different since then, and for the Silver Knights, that's not a good statement, because they've been without so many of their best players. But they do get a few back in Sheldon Rempel and Grigory Denisenko, who are expected to factor in for the Silver Knights tonight. So we're going to break down the expectations for this evening. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Craig in just a moment, his comments from this morning. We caught up with Brandon Hickey earlier today. We'll get some thoughts from Brandon Hickey in our second segment, an extended sit-down with one of the real bright stories for the Silver Knights in the first week of March. And then to wrap things up in our final segment, there is a lot of trade deadline fun, so we'll have some fun talking about the deals that have gone down today and yesterday. Anthony Mantha, the newest member of the Golden Knights. So all straight ahead, and as we speak, for the HSK. And again, for the Silver Knights, just to give you an idea of where this playoff picture looks, Bakersfield is in seventh. That's the final spot, 58 points. Silver Knights are in eighth and 6 points back. Condors still have three games in hand. But there was a time we were talking about them being nine games in hand. Now, they have made use of it. It's not that they've squandered that, because they have a six-point lead, and they were behind when we were having that games in hand conversation. So it's not as though that came and went. But there used to be nine games. Now it's down to three. And it's a Condors team that's lost three in a row. A couple to Coachella. You don't beat them up for that. But a loss in San Diego the other night, that hurts them for sure. It's not a Condors team playing its best hockey.
Yeah, we talked about the Ontario Reign a couple of weeks ago as one of the teams that was kind of scuffling along. And they've since righted the ship a bit. But as you said, the Condors kind of in the midst of one of those rough spots right now. They've lost the first three games of the month of March. And again, tough opponents with Coachella Valley and Abbotsford, but then that loss to San Diego really hurting them right now. So for the Silver Knights, a big opportunity to take advantage of a team that right now isn't playing their best hockey. And for the HSK, you talk about 6 points back, four more meetings with Bakersfield. They have the points sitting right there in front of them at the very least to make something happen, and they can start tonight with a big win.
I think it also shows every team has their turn, right? Ontario took it on the chin for a little bit. To just give you a picture of what the rest of that race looks like, we used to be looking for the Silver Knights' perspective, trying to catch Bakersfield, perhaps trying to catch Ontario because they were having such a hard go of it. Silver Knights are 10 points back of Ontario now. The Reign have a game in hand. But they're also now 10 points back of Abbotsford, who's been a 500 team over the last month or so. They've sunk back. Calgary is only 2 points clear of those two teams. Calgary sits fourth. There was a time they were fighting for the top spot in the division. They're now 12 points from the Silver Knights. Now, again, 12 points in 18 games, that is a sizable gap. I'm not saying, one step at a time. Not that the Silver Knights can surge their way up to fourth. We'll see what happens. But just the idea that why this is perhaps a viable gap for the Silver Knights to cross if they get their act together. The Silver Knights need to win hockey games. Nothing changes if they don't do that. But when you have so much divisional play, either everyone's going to go 500 against each other and nothing moves at all, or more likely somebody's going to take their turn to take it on the chin for a couple of weeks. And we've seen that happen at Bakersfield. We've seen that happen in Ontario. Now can the Silver Knights use that, get their own game in gear, and make a move?
Yeah, of course, the number one goal right now is to catch Bakersfield. Got to get to that seventh spot. You have to get 6 points. But to your point, there's so many teams that are close that if you are Bakersfield right now and you're at 58 points, you're thinking, man, if we win a couple of games, things go our way over the weekend, we're in fourth or fifth in the division right now.
Yeah.
So if the Silver Knights can at least insert themselves into that conversation, there could be room for some movement up even further. But right now, you just have to focus on getting to the seventh spot. And, you know, not a weekend set with Bakersfield, just one here before they take on Abbotsford, another team right in the mix. So just need to focus on tonight.
And that's why, again, tonight is so important. And Ryan Craig, we're going to hear from him in a moment, but to spoil one of his comments, and it's just true, it's a four-point game. And that's mathematically true. It would be a four-point game in October.
Yeah.
But at this time of year, with the stakes, the implications of tonight, 18 games is not a lot of time. Not a lot of time, especially against a team that does have games in hand. But if you have four against the team you're chasing, you'd ask for that. Okay, there's not a lot of time. That's great. Can we at least have our own destiny in our own hands to the extent that we can do damage against the team that we're chasing? Silver Knights have that opportunity. But if you are unable to get points tonight, if tonight was to be a regulation loss for the Silver Knights, that becomes an 8-point gap with 17 games remaining. That's tough.
Yeah.
And for a Silver Knights schedule that has, you know, in the weeks to come, 4 games against Abbotsford, 2 games against Tucson, a trip to Milwaukee. It's not an easy schedule, so it's all the more important for the Silver Knights to do damage directly against the team that they're trying to track down to help them tonight. And this is a Condors team that, as we mentioned, not playing its best hockey of late, but has done well against the Silver Knights this season, has done well against the Silver Knights always. They're 21-8-1 against the Silver Knights all time. They're 4-2-0 all time at the DLC. So it's a Condors team that takes advantage of this head-to-head historically. What can be a factor for the HSK tonight, this is a Condors penalty kill that is really struggling. They've given up 15 power play goals in their last 9 games. That's a ton. And for the Silver Knights, the top power play in the AHL, we've been saying throughout the last couple of weeks, okay, it's the number one ranked power play in the AHL, and that's great, but the people who made it that, your Brassans and your Rempels and your Denisenkos and your Morellis, they're all with the VGK. So, you know, that's like saying the Yankees are world champions. Well, the 2009 Yankees were world champions, not what's there now. So all of that said, the Silver Knights get Sheldon Rempel and Grigory Denisenko back from the VGK. They'll be in the lineup tonight. That's massive for the Silver Knights and what difference the power play can have in tonight's contest.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you talk about, it always feels like when these two teams get together, the special teams is such a factor because games are typically so tight, and for the HSK, relying on that special team tonight is going to be something they can certainly look to do. Of course, Ryan Craig has talked a lot about the fact that, you know, they have to get their 5-on-5 game in order, and that's been tough with a lot of different guys in and out of the lineup, both up front and on the back end. So if they can start to integrate Sheldon Rempel, Grigory Denisenko back, you know what you're getting 5-on-5 from those guys. Then, of course, on the power play, if they get their opportunities, you know that they're likely to put one in.
Yeah, perhaps most importantly, just the stability it can restore to the Silver Knights lineup. Because if you look Saturday, Friday is a shootout win over Tucson. It's a feel-good shootout win. Saturday, they have a 2-0 lead in the first 4 minutes of that game. Now, you don't want to phrase that as a lead that got away from them. Mathematically, of course, it did. But the entire temperament of that game changed. The Roadrunners found their legs and played like the Roadrunners, and just the Silver Knights just couldn't generate offense the rest of the night. But with the additions to the lineup now and the stability of the back end, you have the opportunity that a 2-0 game like that, first of all, you can stabilize that game. But second of all, if the power play factors in, okay, you can outrun that a little bit. You have a 2-goal head start, and maybe you can tack on a third somewhere in there to keep Tucson at bay. That wasn't something they were going to have the ability to do on Saturday, but they might tonight.
Yeah, and you look at that game against Tucson, and you know when the game gets tied, and especially moving into the third when they give up those late couple of goals, they're down by a couple heading into the third. it was kind of one of those things where you're looking around and saying, okay, who's going to get this goal for us right now? You know, who's going to step up for the HSK and try to provide some offense in the third? Where when you get Sheldon Rempel and Grigory Denisenko back, it's, okay, those guys, that's who you look to right there. You have guys that you know that can provide for this team late in the game and get something going offensively to get them back in it. So just getting those guys back in the lineup, whether they end up being in a position where they're leading in the third, down in the third, tied, whether they need something to happen for them, you know who you can look to tonight.
Now, it's going to be really important for the Silver Knights' D-zone work against a team that has more offensive firepower than Tucson does and perhaps a little deceptive. It's a team that can score. They're not running away with any statistical crowns, are the Condors. It's, you know, they're a seventh-place team. The games in hand kind of skewed that a little bit, where you'd say, okay, well, they're seventh place, but they've nine games in hand.
Yeah.
Well, they played a good chunk of those games in hand now. They're still kind of a seventh-place team. They are what their record says they are now. But with that, Seth Griffith, Raphael Lavoie, Cam Dineen from the blue line, this is a team that only has offensive firepower. They generate from above the circles. And Raphael Lavoie has hurt the Silver Knights a couple of times this year. It's been a couple of months, but a couple of times this year with the one-timer from above the left circle. Cam Dineen gets shots through. This is a team that does generate from up high. And what killed the Silver Knights against Tucson on Saturday, there were three goals on deflections, a couple of rebounds.
Yep.
Not only were shots getting through, but they weren't getting stick under stick. They weren't winning net front battles. So for the Silver Knights, it's going to be so important not to allow pucks to get through from up high and players to camp out inside like Brad Malone would. It's going to require a better D zone effort than what we saw Saturday.
And another thing for this Condors team is that, you know, for as much as we talk about how poorly their penalty kill has been over the last little stretch here, their power play has also killed the Silver Knights so far this season as well. And you talk about Raphael Lavoie, he's got 11 power play goals. A good chunk of them are against the Silver Knights this season, especially a couple here at the DLC, late in games to really change the tide of games here. And the Silver Knights have to make sure they're disciplined on that end to make sure they don't take as many penalties and give opportunities to this power play to let them in the game. You want to, if they can get a similar start to what they had against Tucson, maybe take the wind out of the sails of Bakersfield, a team that's already struggling right now, it could go a long way.
So, anytime there's a push for the playoffs, especially if you're on the outside looking in, even in the first week of March, there are certain games that you can identify and say, okay, Ryan Craig has said our playoffs have already started in terms of mentality. This is a game that feels like that.
Yeah.
Every game is important. Every point you can get along the way is important. But these games feel like the ones that you have to have. And hopefully that the Silver Knights come out with that kind of mentality and that kind of gusto. But that should inspire a pretty good atmosphere at the Dollar Loan Center tonight as well. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Craig. We talked to him earlier about all these topics. And here's what Ryan Craig had to say.
With head coach Ryan Craig, coach, your game against Bakersfield tonight. It is the team in front of you in the standings for the last playoff spot. Is tonight a night that feels like it has different stakes than other games on the calendar?
Well, every game is a big game for us right now, but it's big. It's a four-point game. A team that we haven't had any success in the win column against yet this year, and yet we have them four more times here in our last 18 games. So we should be excited. We're adding some bodies back tonight. We should be really excited to drop the puck tonight and get going.
It's been a while since you guys have seen Bakersfield. The end of December, does it kind of give a clean slate element to the season history?
Well, they played some good hockey. Their goaltending's been solid with both Campbell and Rodrigue. I don't think the formula or how they play has changed. For us, it hasn't either. We just know some ways we can look to expose them maybe tonight, some things we can do. But it's going to come down to races and battles, as it usually does, and make sure we take care of both net fronts.
You mentioned some bodies back, Sheldon Rempel, Grigory Denisenko. They're obviously big power play factors for you guys. Bakersfield's penalty kill has struggled a bit of late. How big a factor can that be?
Well, our power plays helped carry us through the whole year, so it's important we get those guys back. But even just slotting guys up front with the 12 guys we have in tonight, it slots guys differently with those two guys coming back. Gives us obviously some added firepower with how they've put the puck in the net. But just structurally, guys that know how we want to play. I've done a good job at both ends of the rink this year. Can contribute for us, but also dangerous going the other way. Well, they need to defend and check first. I think it's going to be important. Bakersfield is a good rush team, a team that always has three in the rush with four and five coming up. So for us, our D have to do a good job maintaining their gaps, slowing the rush down, making sure that we have good sticks. And then when we have our opportunity in D zone, close and make a good breakout pass to get us going. I think that's where it starts for those guys. And then when they get to the offensive blue line, obviously there's some talent there where they can take over with their reads and getting pucks through their net.
Jakob Demick is one of the rookies who's had a little bit of opportunity up the lineup over the last few weeks. How would you evaluate the growth of his game this year as a rookie, and also what you see from him when he's in a checking role versus in more of a skill position?
Well, we don't want to see his game change regardless of where he's playing. He's a big physical body that can play in the middle of the ice. He should use that size and strength to his advantage. We want to see him play north game. Obviously, he's gotten a little bit more opportunity with in some offensive situations with guys that are out and we're missing. But for him, his game shouldn't change. He should try to play below the hash marks in the offensive zone, play him behind, and then use that frame to create offense.
Rafael Lavoie has been one of the dangerous weapons for them this season, particularly on the power play. Is there anything in particular to take him away?
Well, I'll be aware when he's on the ice. That's part of, now that we've played the same teams over and over again, you got to be aware of certain guys. He does like to play north, does like to get in behind you. He will shoot from everywhere. Has a good shot off the wing, off the rush, plus also his spot on the power play, whether it's in the middle, high, or on the one side flank. So we'll be aware of him tonight. He's going to get his chances. He's a good player. We just want to try to limit them, and make sure we're ready to check.
And that was head coach Ryan Craig earlier today. And you know, I asked him about Jakob Demick just because the growth of Demick's rookie season. He's gotten better, particularly playing a shutdown role down the middle. His penalty killing has been pretty strong since the start of the year. But with the expanded opportunities we talk about again and again throughout these last couple of months, really, you know, you talk about the Daniel D'Amato's playing up in the lineup, the Mason Primo's playing up in the lineup. Jakob Demick has had an opportunity to go from a fourth-line center to a second-line center. And again, while that doesn't have him playing between Morelli and Quinney, it does have him in a role of being relied on for more skill, more scoring, and what the difference is there. And as Ryan Craig said, we want him to play the same. But it does call in the fact that the Silver Knights, still without Adam Cracknell injured, still without Gage Quinney for a while, it looks like, still without Christopher Sedoff, a young player, but they're without him nonetheless. Talk about players up at the VGK. I don't know if Mason Morelli's coming back anytime soon. Remains to be seen. But all of that said, if the Silver Knights are going to make this push, it's not just some of the role guys stepping up. It's also going to be some of the young guys growing up in the second half of their rookie seasons.
Yeah, not only Jakob Demick, but Jacob Rabinitz as well. Yep. Two guys down the middle for the HSK. You know, different styles of play. Certainly Rabinitz more of that skill guy and probably, you know, kind of the reverse role of Demick, trying to develop more of that checking game, whereas Demick picking up some of that skill minutes, if you will, with the top line. So both those guys growing and, you know, unfortunate they've been hampered by injuries at times, and of course Demick was up with the VGK recently, so you know wasn't completely with the team, but you know I think both of them have shown a lot of growth this season, and you know a big opportunity for them in an elevated role, you know, for as much as we talk about, as you said, guys that we expect in those elevated roles, you know, these guys coming in as rookies growing as well with the team, and I think they're really taking on that challenge.
It's going to be a big night for the HSK tonight against the Bakersfield Condors. First of four meetings between the two teams between now and the end of the year, including a back-to-back home-and-home to finish the season. That who knows how important that 48-hour stretch can be, but one step at a time. We're going to take a break, but before we do, remind you that as important as tonight is, well, this weekend is pretty important as well, and the force will be with the Henderson Silver Knights and their fans on March 9th when the HSK hosts Sheldon Dries and the Abbotsford Canucks for Star Wars Night, a 3 p.m. puck drop at the Dollar Loan Center. Immerse yourself in a galaxy far away. Your favorite Star Wars characters will be on hand and arrive early to receive your very own light sword. Think of it as a light sword. That's the phrasing we're allowed to use. Light sword. Also, the Silver Knights will be wearing themed novelty Star Wars jerseys that will be auctioned off, as we always do, to support the HSK Foundation. So make sure you're there on March the 9th, this Saturday, when the Silver Knights and Abbotsford Canucks go head-to-head for Star Wars Night. Tickets at hendersonsilverknights.com. We'll hop out when we come back. Brandon Hickey joined us earlier today to talk about his recent hot stretch offensively and, well, just what his attitude, what his talent, but also his outlook and leadership has provided to the Silver Knights during this interesting roster stretch. That's all straight ahead on HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell.
HSK Today.
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Silver Knights and Bakersfield Condors go head-to-head tonight at the DLC. Tickets available, hendersonsilverknights.com, as we get you set. Well, Brandon Hickey has been a revelation up front for the Silver Knights of late. Brandon Hickey has played this season, by my count, and I think I'm pretty close to dead-on accurate. He's played in 7 games this season out of 30 as a forward. And in those 7 games, he has 3 goals and 5 points. He's been pretty darn good, and that's pretty consistently in a bottom-six role. But Ryan Craig said after Saturday's game that Brandon Hickey's been one of their best forwards. Now, and of course, with all respect to Brandon Hickey, is, you know, Ryan Craig said with a bit of a sigh, like, he doesn't want that to be the situation with, you don't want your defenseman to be your best forward, but he has been extremely effective up there. And I think he's going to line up there again tonight. And, you know, we're going to hear from him in just a second here, Justin. But one of the best things about Brandon Hickey playing forward is the situation of just, he phrased it, don't think. And yeah, but you can kind of see it. It's just like full speed ahead. Throw yourself into piles and get pucks on net. It has rewards if you do it properly.
That's kind of the energy he brings every time he's on the ice, regardless of how he plays. But as you said, it just kind of wind him up and let him go, create some havoc in the offensive zone. That's what he's done, and that's what he did over the weekend against Tucson with a couple of goals. I wish he could play the Tucson Roadrunners every night because it seems like he scores every time he plays them, but they'll have a chance next week as well back in Tucson. But yeah, it's just extremely impressive at this point in the season to just kind of take that in stride and play as well as he's done with it.
Well, caught up with Brandon Hickey earlier today to talk about that and more. Here's what Brandon Hickey had to say.
Brandon Hickey joins us on HSK Today, and Brandon, off the, you know, right off the hop, you're a goal-scoring machine of late, goals in back-to-back contests. It must be fun for a guy who usually, again, plays a defensive role to drive some offense. Has it been, well, just that, has it been fun?
Yeah, it's been a blast, you know, getting the experience of being able to play up front and kind of get put in different roles has been a great time, and then, you know, to put a few in the net has been a lot of fun, too. I love scoring goals, as you can kind of tell. I've been having a really good time with it. So, yeah, right now it's just been a great experience.
I feel like during media day at the start of the year, for fans who I'm sure you put two and two together, but we do the videos for the center hang scoreboard, all that stuff. And one of the things they'll say during the video portion is like, all right, give us your best goal, Selly. And some of the defensemen will say, well, you're not going to see it very often, but you've got a bag of good tricks for that situation. We're seeing it this week.
Yeah, it's kind of the excitement just takes over, and then I don't really know what to do. So I just kind of, whatever comes out, like the other day when I, like, fist pumped and swept the ice. It just kind of came to me. So, yeah, I have a really hard time controlling my emotions in that situation. And like Ricky Bobby, I don't really know what to do with my hands.
Well, head coach Ryan Craig, over the weekend, we asked, you know, about the success you're having up front. And he said, well, he's been one of our best forwards. When this role came to you, did they come to you and tell you it's what they needed, or did they ask you if you were comfortable with it? How does that conversation go?
It was just kind of like, can you play up front? And gave them like a little yes, and then like, all right, like, we're going to put you up front. Just kind of don't worry about doing too much. Don't overthink things. Just kind of go. And that's been kind of something that I've been having a really good time with, just able to skate around 100 miles an hour up front and get on the forecheck, you know, hit some people on the forecheck instead of taking hits on the forecheck is really nice. I've been taking those hits for 20 plus years, so now it's nice to dish some out. And yeah, it's you know, I just want to do anything I can to help the team win. So whatever role they approach you with, I'm gonna, you know, do the best of my abilities.
With Brandon Hickey, you know, it's good that they gave you that instruction of, you know, don't think too much, just go out and do it. Because one of the things that comes to mind for me is you've played hockey your whole life. You're a defense. Did you play much forward as a kid at any point?
No, not really. I think my first game as a forward was my second year pro. So it's, and at that time, too, the coach asked me if I played, and I said, yeah, because I just wanted to get in the lineup. And now it kind of just got to the point where now I can play a little bit of forward.
So even when you do it seldomly, I would think of along the lines of You're a lifelong hockey player, hockey fan. You know the game. You know the X's and O's. You know, but I know the Macarena, too. And when I see a video of myself doing it, it looks ridiculous. Does it take a little bit of adjustment? Like, okay, I know where I'm supposed to be. But then when you're out there actually going through the motions and everything's happening at a million miles an hour, I feel like it would be hard to remind yourself to be positionally sound. How much of a challenge is that?
It is a little bit of a challenge. Sometimes I do get some uncomfortable feelings on the ice where I feel like I should be back further, like surfing across or taking the rush. But, you know, with them telling me not to think too much, I think that's really taken away like the double thinking aspect of it. Like, oh, am I in the right spot? I just kind of throughout the week, I focus on where my positioning is in the systems and then just try and do those things to the best of my ability. And yeah, it's been the first few games was a little bit uncomfortable, but I think the more I've been able to play, the more I've been able to settle in and, you know, contribute a little bit.
With Silver Knights defenseman and budding utility man, Brandon Hickey, one last on this subject. The other thing I think is kind of neat is that, of course, you're all in the same locker room, you're all on the same team, but for fans who don't know, there's so many meetings throughout the course of a day. There's power play meetings, penalty kill meetings, the forward group, the D group, and now in this role and also what the team's been going through with a lot of changing personnel, like, I mean, you must have a seat in every single meeting room. Has it been cool getting to have a little more time maybe with Brent Kissio than you ordinarily would have? I mean, you must have a better relationship with everybody as a product of the role you're now playing.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm kind of in every single meeting at this point, and I really enjoy it. I love learning about hockey. I love learning the ins and outs and, like, little details that help make you successful at each position. So, you know, being able to be in a power play meeting, penalty kill meeting, 5-on-5 with forwards, 5-on-5 with D. Like, yesterday I was in the D meeting and got some information as well just in case I get put back on the back end. So, yeah, it's been just learning a bunch of different things about hockey and having a ton of those little, like, intricate meetings. And, yeah, you know, like you said, getting to spend time with some guys I normally don't get to spend time with. It's been really good to, you know, get to hang out with Kissmore and, you know, pick his brain about some forward stuff.
Any advice for Mason Gertsen? Because it was a couple of seasons ago, but he made the permanent switch from D to forward.
Yeah, he was just telling me, like, just don't think. Like, it's what everyone's been telling me, and it's funny. It, like, even Huey always makes jokes, turn your brain off when you're playing forward. And I know he's just doing it to kind of poke fun at the forwards, but, like, turning your brain off has actually kind of helped me and just allowed me to, you know, play a little bit more free and have a little fun out there.
Huey tells me to turn my brain off too, but I don't think it's the same advice. I think he just wants me to stop talking. We're with Brandon Hickey. I think this period, again, you're having great success in this role and you've had a great season for the Silver Knights overall, but it is also just very indicative of just your overall approach to the game. You're a player who was, you're a third round pick for Calgary, you're a captain at BU, you just had a tremendous career, international play for Team Canada. You know, some players with that kind of resume might be asked to change their game or do something like that and be a little bit rigid to it. You're extraordinarily flexible, and it kind of feeds into what you just said, is whatever you need to do to help the team win is what you're willing to do.
Yeah, you know, that's something my dad really ingrained in me when I was younger. My mom and dad, just when you're playing a team game, like, you just want to do whatever you can to win. And that's, like, the most important thing to me. And, you know, being able to help out in the way I have, and it's been a lot of fun. And the players and the teammates in there have been super supportive of my transition up front. And they've been just giving, like, really positive with me. And it's made things a lot of fun. And, like I said earlier, just learning the intricacies of being up front and the little things that will help you become a better hockey player, it'll go a long way, even if I don't stay up front forever and come back to D. Like, now I know some things that forwards are looking for that maybe I can take away as a D-man. So overall, like, I consider myself a hockey player. I don't just consider myself a defenseman. I don't just pigeonhole myself. I can kind of play either side up front. So, yeah, I'm a hockey player at the end of the day.
The Hickey family dynamic seems to have a lot of fun with being a pro hockey family. Obviously, we see the fun you have in your job, but also your mom is all over our social feeds. Every parent enjoys watching their kid play sports, but your family just really seems to enjoy the privileges that come with being a pro hockey family and the fun that comes with it.
Yeah, my parents love it. You know, they get down here as much as they can. The last few years, they've kind of been snowbirds and hanging out in the sunny United States throughout the winter. So they try and organize their trips where they catch a bunch of games when they're in town and are able to watch. And, you know, they love it. Like you said, my mom's always on social media commenting. And if you listen closely in the crowd, she's probably the loudest person out there when she's here. And my dad also is the most supportive guy that is in my life. And they're both just a great support system, my brother included, and they just love the whole aspect of being able to be here, do this, experience this stuff with me. So, yeah, they've really enjoyed it.
and they've gotten to see you do some cool things. Again, your pro career, World Juniors, Spengler Cup, your college career. One thing that we actually haven't touched on, as I think we may have talked about briefly at the start of the year, but you know, Mason Morelli got some Calder Cup love and attention. You deserved more love and attention. You were a Kelly Cup champion last year after your Silver Knight stint. You went back to the Florida Everblades and you got to go on a championship run. How cool was that to be a part of?
That was awesome. I haven't been able to play in meaningful hockey games for a long time, probably since college, actually. That was like my first taste of pro playoff hockey, and I got so tight with all those guys there throughout the beginning of the year when I was there. And then when I came here, if we weren't going to make playoffs, I wanted to go back there and, you know, help some really good friends of mine and really, you know, get together and fight for a common goal. So that experience was phenomenal. The 2.5 months there for playoffs was just, it was a dream come true, and to see everything come to fruition and like it did, it's just a super special time. And yeah, it's memories I'll have for the rest of my life.
With Brandon Hickey. Brandon, talking about meaningful hockey. Silver Knights playing very meaningful hockey right now, and especially tonight against a Bakersfield team that you're chasing. Only 18 games left, but you play them four times. I imagine if there's anything a team can ask for, if they're making a playoff push, you want to face the teams you're chasing. How significant is this evening's contest?
Super significant. You know, like you said, we got them a bunch of times coming up here in their last 18, and their teams we're chasing are the teams we were playing. So those are the opportunities that you want. Now it's just up to us to come out there with an intensity and passion and a little bit of desperation too. Like it's basically our playoff time right now. Like we don't really have much breathing room, so we just got to come out every night and put our best foot forward. So that starts tonight with the team we're trying to catch.
You haven't faced them since the end of December. They have had the edge in the season series thus far. Does a little bit of time help? I mean, again, you guys are a very different roster right now than you were in December. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, does it feel maybe there's a bit of a clean slate element that wouldn't have been there in January?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when you play teams a bunch in a row or in a short amount of time, you can kind of get into a groove, whether it's a positive groove or a negative groove. And I think we're kind of in a negative groove there. So I think being able to take some time away from playing them really helps clean the slate, and we can come in with fresh minds and just ready to go do our job tonight.
How important is it? You're not by any stretch, it's not that you're goofy, but you're a fun guy, you're a happy-go-lucky guy, and again, it's been a bit of a rough month for the team in terms of wins and losses. You got to maintain a positive attitude as you're making this chase. How important is it for someone, whoever it is, to provide, I don't know if levity is the right word, but some positivity to battle through things?
Yeah, I think it's super important. You don't want the dynamic in the room to change, especially like throughout the year you go through a bunch of different ups and downs. It's a long season. It's just the nature of the sport. And I think just keeping that positivity in there just really helps everyone come into the rink every day. Like you're not dreading to come to the rink. You're still going to go there. You're going to have a good time no matter what's going on with our schedule or how we've been doing recently. Keeps everyone positive, keeps everyone wanting to continue to work. And I feel like, I mean, when I was in college, that was the same way I kind of handled things when I was captain. You know, we didn't have a great start to my senior year, and then everyone kept positive, and then all of a sudden the ball started rolling and things started falling into place. So as long as you can keep everyone kind of engaged during those slumps or those downturns, I think it's good for the team, and it keeps an element of fun around the rink, which we're playing a children's game, like, for a living, so there's got to be an element of fun to that.
With the fun, Brandon, is it also helpful? Does it feed into that mentality? Right now, some of the challenges you guys are going through is because a lot of guys are getting called up, but you want to see guys get called up. How beneficial is it for you guys in terms of motivation or in terms of just that overall morale when you see guys like Mason Morelli go up and have the performance he's having with Vegas, Brennan Brisson, Sheldon, guys having opportunities and making the most of it?
Yeah, it's obviously super exciting for those guys. You know, they're good friends of mine and great teammates, and to see guys like that get opportunities is super special. And yeah, it hurts us a little bit because we don't have our big guns down here. But at the end of the day, you want them to succeed and you want what's best for them. So being able to get those opportunities and see them take advantage of them has been a super special experience. Like, I'm really happy for those guys, proud of them for what they've been doing up there and helping out Vegas. So, you know, it'll be nice to have Rems and Denny back tonight. But, you know, just really excited that they've gotten all that opportunity.
With Brandon Hickey, last one before we let you go, we'll end on a fun note. Right now you're going full beard Grizzly Adams, but you've gotten a lot of good reviews over the course of the last couple seasons for whether you go mustache, whether you go flow. You are a stylist and a trendsetter. Are you the leader in the clubhouse in that category, or is there anyone who gives you a run for your money?
There's a bunch of guys that give you a run for my money. I think Gertsy had the flow at the beginning of the year, and I think that looked phenomenal. He just looked like an intimidating guy out there with a little black cape coming out of his helmet. But, you know, he's got good style too, and he's always, like, clean cut. He's got nice hair now. And, yeah, I think for me it's just more like it's playoff time, so I'm kind of trying to get into that mindset of, you know, play some manly hockey, get, like, physical over pucks, and I think kind of my facial hair and hair kind of, you know, represents that, represents me.
Well, Ryan Craig said for you guys, the playoff mentality has already set in. Good to see that you're taking that to heart. Brandon, really appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Be back.
And that was Brandon Hickey earlier today. And he really is very much a team stylist. Many, many looks, many moods of Brandon Hickey. I would like to combine his aesthetic with Yuri Patera's hat game. We could do something with that.
A lot of potential there.
But it is great to see that Brandon Hickey is, you know, another player who's had a bit of an expanded role in these last few weeks, a different role, but an expanded one nonetheless, making the most of it. And again, he is such a positive guy and such a good guy around the locker room. He has a lot of experience in leadership roles and knows that the, you know, not every time is a time for levity, but when you're trying to fight your way through something, that's an important element, and there's a reason why everyone in the locker room loves Brandon Hickey.
Very often, if not always, you're going to see him with a smile on his face, a guy that's always happy-go-lucky and always brings that positivity to the room. And like he said, too, he just classifies himself as a hockey player. He's not going to, you know, pigeonhole himself in his words, as he said, you know, to one position. But he just wants to get out there and play, wants to help the team, and wants to be a source of positivity.
Well, Brandon Hickey will be in the mix tonight. We expect he's going to play forward again. We'll wait until line rushes to know for sure. But it does look like that may be where he slots in tonight against the Bakersfield Condors. We will step out. Before we do, just want to give you guys a heads up. If you did not see the social posts from this morning, everyone really liked, at least from the feedback that I heard, the Las Vegas Thunder jerseys that the Silver Knights wore earlier this season and the one-of-a-kind, or well, technically two-of-a-kind, custom-made Thunder jackets. Those were held off to the side for VGK, or HSK Authentics, I should say. They're going to be sold at a later point. That later point has arrived. Head down to the livery at America First Center on Water Street. The game-worn and team-issued Thunder Knight jerseys and Thunder Knight jacket are on sale right now. So if you are interested in one of those game-worn Thunder jerseys, they're being sold. Again, it's not an auction. They're being sold at the livery on Water Street through the Authentics program. Get yours today. So get down there before they all disappear. We'll hop out when we come back. It is trade deadline season. It's not trade deadline day, although it certainly does feel like it. We'll break down some of the moves that have happened so far in an interesting market to this point. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo, here with you on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I only have one question. Where is
Brian McCormick?
Welcome back to HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Silver Knights taking on the Bakersfield Condors tonight. It's a big one as the Silver Knights trying to chase down the Condors for the final playoff spot in the Pacific Division. Lots of time left in the season, but at the same time, not that much time left in the season. Silver Knights need to make a move, and again, these head-to-heads against the Condors, the best opportunity to do so. Before that, though, if you're a Silver Knights fan, you're probably a Nighthawks fan as well, and I want to remind you that the Vegas Nighthawks will be hosting their open house on March 20th. That's Wednesday, March 20th. At the Dollar Loan Center from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Nighthawks head coach Mike Davis will have the players on the turf for an open practice. Current Nighthawks season ticket members will have a chance to enjoy special promotions throughout the evening as well. We'll Q&A with Coach Mike Davis as well. Lots of fun to be had. Again, the Nighthawks open house March 20th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. for information. Visit NighthawksFootball.com, NighthawksFootball.com. Well, as we mentioned, it is trade deadline week. It feels an awful lot like trade deadline day, doesn't it, Justin? Like, for those who don't know, trade deadline day is Friday. And usually it's when one domino falls, the rest follow.
Yep.
I actually woke up this morning, Justin, and I've got, you know, plenty of friends still on the East Coast. Sometimes you wake up to 20 text messages when something has happened. So I went to bed last night after the Anthony Mantha trade. Felt like, I mean, I guess the first domino technically was Chris Tanev last week, but that was that was early. This
it's
felt
been a
like
while since then.
And with the deadline right up against us, this felt like it was going to start things moving.
Yep.
So I went to bed last night saying, when I wake up, I am going to have like 45 minutes of good scrolling to do before I get up.
Yeah, catch up.
And I woke up and I saw Rasmus Dahlin, Rasmus Sandin extension, and I was like, oh, all right, that's not the juiciest
stuff.
It'll
happen on Friday, right?
Little did I know that on the ride in, things would pick up. And among the names that we've seen moved today, again, Anthony Mantha yesterday. Vladimir Tarasenko is now a Florida Panther. Adam Henrique has moved to the Edmonton Oilers, making them stronger on the wing. And then and down the middle, wherever they choose to use him. Sam Carrick also a good depth option for the Edmonton Oilers. Sean Walker has moved from the Flyers to the Avalanche. Avalanche have had a busy day. They also had Casey Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram. That's an interesting one. And the Rangers get moving on what they have planned as Alex Wenberg has come over from the Seattle Kraken. Do any of those deals so far today jump off the page to you, Justin?
Well, the Colorado Avalanche and their couple of moves really stand out to me because, you know, as we were talking a bit off the air, you know, Bowen Byram's a big piece to give up for a guy in Casey Mittelstadt. Of course, you're getting a big upgrade with Mittelstadt there. But, you know, they also get Sean Walker back in that Philadelphia deal. So not a massive hit in terms of the short term right now for them. And you can tell they're really gearing up to make another run at the Stanley Cup. And, of course, another Western Conference team. They're going to be on the radar of the VGK. And we'll see how that all plays out. But they're positioning themselves pretty well. And you wonder where the Vancouvers and the VGK, you know, how much more can they add to keep up?
Yeah, you wonder if for Colorado, if you're a blue line that doesn't already have Kel McCarr and Devon Taves and Sam Girard, like, are you able to move a guy like Bowen Byram? I've seen some chatter. Again, I don't get to watch Bowen Byram night in, night out, but, like, you know, he's had some struggles this year. That very well may be so. He's 22 years old. He's going to be 23 in June. He's 22 years old. He has 8 goals. He has 20 points. He's a plus one. He's a plus hockey player in 55 games. Like, the fact that he was one for one for Casey Mittelstadt stuns me. If you feel like you have to move Bowen Byram, okay. But I figure that's a guy you hang on to. Like, you move that for a boatload rather than a one for one guy that on the team. Casey Mittelstadt's a good player, but he's a depth player on that roster.
Oh, and for the Buffalo side of things, you know, we talk about them and how much they're starting to build. And this was supposed to be a year that they were going to compete for a playoff spot. It didn't pan out. But look at that blue line now with Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, Bowen Byram. I mean, talk about the core that they're starting to build there on the back end and how they're positioning themselves moving forward in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. And you know what? The first thing I thought about, and then maybe I'm off base, but the first thing that came to my mind, you mentioned, you have Dahlin, you have Byram, you have Power. And that's just to get things started on the blue line, and there's a couple other prospects that are going to factor in as well. Kind of got the golden age of Nashville on your mind, where it's just like, oh my gosh, they're just loaded, and everyone's 25 or younger. I just thought it was a great pickup for the Sabres to get, and moving on from Mittelstadt, who they were prepared to move on from anyway. I agree, that's one that's really jumped off the page to me. An interesting one is going to be the Walker for Ryan Johansson deal and a conditional first rounder that Philly also gets. That's what they get.
Yeah.
Because there was, I don't know if it's officially happened. I don't know. But some of the murmuring I saw was that Johansson might be waived.
Hmm.
Which, if that's the case, I think he's $4 million is his cap hit, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. The idea that Ryan Johansson would be finishing this season in Lehigh Valley does not sound realistic.
No.
But does someone claim that? Edmonton absolutely gets better with the addition of Henrique and Carrick. Vlad Tarasenko, who I believe had a no-move clause, I believe, he goes to Florida for a fourth-round pick, a conditional fourth, and a third next year.
Yeah.
That's not much of a return for Ottawa.
And as we were talking as well off the air about, you know, you expect prospects at the AHL level to be involved in a lot of these deals, but it's been picks so far.
Yeah.
You know, that has been what has been getting moved around and shifted around. It hasn't been a lot of guys at the AHL level or a lot of prospects. It's been a lot of these picks getting moved.
Picks, not prospects. Absolutely. That has been the flavor of the day. Well, we are out of time, but luckily there's going to be a full streaming VGK trade deadline show on deadline day, so you can tune on to that to see what happens between now and then. And, of course, Anthony Mantha is the newest member of the VGK. He is in town and will factor in for them very soon. Special thanks for Brandon Hickey joining us on the program this afternoon. Silver Knights and Condors tonight at the DLC. 7 o'clock puck drop. Tickets at HendersonSilverKnights.com. We'll see you tonight.